I want you to open your Bibles this evening, just a few verses from God's Word. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, commencing to read at verse number 1, Judges chapter 1, verse number 1. And as we turn to the book of Judges this evening, we gather on a special day of remembrance to remember how that those that fought in battles in days gone by won the war. I want this evening to speak upon the subject, how the children of Israel lost the war, and that how our nation can do so too. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first, to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. Because of time, we'll go to verse 28. "And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, and did not utterly drive them out." Verse 32. "But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out." And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. We remember tonight the heroes of past conflicts. Those who left the shores of Ulster and the shores of this United Kingdom to fight in foreign fields. Some who left who never returned. Others who returned and yet they carried with them the scars that were unspeakable of war and memories that are too painful to mention. Those who fought on the home front. Those that kept the home fires burning. And for all of them we are rightly proud. And we are so thankful of the freedom that they give you and me. And as we look back into our heritage and into our family circles, in ways we are proud that we come from a long line of heroes. A people who dared to fight for freedom while others complained about tyranny. A nation that had the moral fiber and the moral courage to do what was right in the hour of need. To keep a people free from bondage. And yet the tragedy is that after all the conflict, this generation in which we live would sell the past and forsake the standards. We gather in God's house tonight and we remember the finest sons and daughters who fought gallantly in the First and Second World Wars. And not only in those wars, but in every conflict where the cause of freedom has been called, where the challenge against our freedom was given, and our people, they went at the call of duty. Then we think of those that for the past 35 years in Ulster that stood in the gap against the terrorists of our community. And many of them sacrificed their lives and gave their all. And as we think of this tonight and all the sacrifice that they made, there were three characteristics that we find as we come to the book of Judges. And friend, even in this day in which we live, those characteristics still live on. The first of those characteristics is the characteristic of apathy, because that apathy crept in among the people of the children of Israel. People got satisfied and apathetic
They forgot their heritage. They forgot where they stood. They forgot their past. A nation that forgets its past will always make the mistakes of the past. Will never learn the lessons from the past. The children of Israel had a great past. God delivered them. God brought them out of Egypt. God redeemed them by blood, and God redeemed them by power. They came out of the land of slavery and bondage. They wandered in the wilderness because of their sin. But God brought them into the land of promise. And yet with all of that, how indifferent they became. So apathetic. They were indifferent to the commands of God. And so apathy crept into the nation. When you read the Bible, friend, you'll find there was a certain characteristic, because not only was there an apathy, there was an apostasy. Because instead of remaining true to God, instead of standing true to the God who delivered them, they started to compromise. They started to dull the clear lines of demarcation. They started to flirt with the enemies of truth. And then they started to act like the Canaanites, in their idolatry, in their immorality. And so apathy turned into apostasy. And then that turned into anarchy. Because God summarizes the day of the judges like this, if you just turn to the last chapter of the book of Judges, and the last verse, and it says these words. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so we find that that apathy turned into apostasy, and that apostasy turned into anarchy. There was no restriction. There was no restraint. There was no modesty anymore. Every man just did that which was right in their own eyes. You notice the difference between the book of Joshua and the book of Judges? The book of Joshua, whenever it ends, it says this. It tells us Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. They served the Lord. They never forgot God, friend. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. They never forgot what God had done all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders. But when you turn to the book of Judges, you find that changes. Because they start to forget. Joshua is a book of victory. Judges is a book of defeat. Joshua is a book where you witness the shout of triumph. Judges is a book where you hear the cries of travail and turmoil. And as you look at the decay in the nation of Israel, then you ask this question. Is it happening to us in Ulster? Is it happening in our nation? Is it possible what happened in the day of the judges could happen in the United Kingdom in this our day and generation? Even on this Sunday we remember the history of the past and the victories of the past and the deliverances of the past and the battles of the past. Is it possible that the failures of the past could be repeated? That the moral degeneration of the days of the judges could happen in Ulster tonight? Judges is an important book. Because as you read that book, friend, you find that it shows for us how that Israel departed from God. And what that departure did to the nation. And the judgment that that departure brought upon the nation. And whilst you and I have a great heritage tonight, and we're rightly proud of the heritage that God has given us on this day of remembrance, let us think of our nation tonight For friend, to be honest, the mighty nation is fallen. And the nation that led the world in democracy, and the nation that led the world in standards, sad to say that in that very nation, in this very nation, there is a moral landslide, and the standards have taken a tumble, and judgment is falling upon us. When the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan, let me tell you just exactly, set the scene. God told them what they had to do. And God made it clear through His Word that what they had to do was this. They had to drive out the Canaanites out of the land. They were to conquer the Canaanites. And they were to drive them out of the land. And what God commanded, God wanted them to obey Him. God wanted them to follow His command. He wanted them to be wholehearted in the command which He had given to them. But instead of that, an apathy crept in, and then an apostasy, and then an anarchy, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The children of Israel, they believed in one God, the Lord God, Jehovah. The Canaanites, they believed in many gods, Ashtaroth, Baal, and the groves. And as you read the book of Judges, you will see how that the children of Israel left the clear declaration of the Word of God, friend, and they compromised with the evil spirit of that day. And through that departure from God, they lost the war. They lost the battle. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now notice what it didn't say. It didn't say every man did what was wrong. It said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, they thought what they were doing was right. As far as they were concerned, it was right. Because every man was setting the standards. They had gone away from the clear declaration of the Word of God, friend, and they allowed the culture of the nation that they had gone in among, of the Canaanites, to squeeze them into surrender. And instead of standing up for that which is right, as God had said, they did that which is right in their own eyes. And friend, that's what's happening in the United Kingdom tonight. Because just as it happened in this day, there was a falling away from God's standards. You see, God had made His will clear. God said, I want you to go into the land and I want you to capture the Canaanites and I want you to drive them out. There was nothing that they didn't understand about that. The Word of God was very clear. You know, when we look back over the years in this great nation, in many ways, the United Kingdom was unique. Do you remember the words that Queen Victoria said? Wasn't it Queen Victoria said that the secret of England's greatness was the open Bible, friend? When she was asked the question, what was the secret of the greatness of this great nation? She said the secret of England's greatness was the open Bible. But sad to say that there's been a major shift in the nation. When I was with one of my colleagues this past week, in the House of Commons, they told me, I think it is 7 or 9% of the people of the United Kingdom that are attached to any place of worship. They say that in the next few years, in that poll, that it is expected that it will go down to 2% in the United Kingdom that will attend a place of worship. And yet, my friend, Queen Victoria said, the secret of England's greatness was the open Bible. What is happening in our nation tonight? Is it not true that as you look across this nation and even into this province which has been so richly blessed in so many ways, that there is a falling away, there is an apostasy, there is a turning away from the clear word of God, friend, and there is no longer a touchstone, there is no longer a standard by which we measure right and wrong anymore. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Every man wants to be the person that is in control of their own life. And I can do what I want. Nobody has a right to tell me what to do. And sadly, our nation is like a ship that's loose on an angry sea that has lost its mooring and has got no anchor. And there is a departure. And there's a moral deterioration because God's word is no longer honored. And God is no longer reverenced. And God's day is no longer holy. And God's laws are no longer the standards. And when a nation turns their back on the word of God, then, I don't care who the nation is. I don't care how great the history. The greater the sin when it's a great history. But when a nation turns its back on God, then that nation's on the slide down to judgment. Can I ask you a question? Where does the Word of God come in your life, friend? Whenever a subject comes up for debate, tell me, where does God's word come in? When God says it, do you believe it? When God sets the standards, do you believe that, my friend? Is that the standard for your home? Is that the standard for your life? Is that the standard for your family? Thus saith the Lord. Is God's word the final authority? Or to be honest, do you like it better than in the days of judgment? You know, you do that which is right in your own eyes. You do what you just want to do. In this book of Judges, and I know time is quickly going, friend, you'll see the moral decline. It didn't happen overnight. Just happened little by little. Step by step until the nation turns its back on God. Let's be honest. In all of our lives, that's the way it happens. Set your minds back a few years, friend. Set your mind back when the television came in. Do you remember the first time you saw on the television screen something that was smutty? Something that hadn't got moral standards in? Do you remember how you felt? Remember your child sitting there, Dad? And somehow you blushed that first time. Actual fact, you turned it off. Let me ask you a question. See what comes on now? Are you still doing it? Do you turn it off as quick? You see, little by little, we roll back the standards, friend. We lower the standards, we lower the flag. And the sad reality, that is what is happening in the United Kingdom, and the laws that are being passed in this United Kingdom are rolling back the standards. And God's day is no longer honored and reverenced, and God's law is trampled over until in the council chambers these past months, The counselors were told that you have to have a place for the marriage of civil partners. And one by one, the counselors bow in submission to their master. And the law of God is cast aside. Then let me tell you, that would have made any honorable person sick a few years ago. You know what people say today? What can we do?
What about right? What about doing right?
What about standing up for that which is right, friend? Rather than accepting today that whatever they tell us to do, we must bow in submission to. And little by little. That's what happened. Listen, there is nothing new under the sun, friend. It's all in the book. It's all here. Just little by little.
The decay. The cancer eats away at the moral fibre of our nation.
And we turn our back on God very quickly. When you read chapter 1 of the book of Judges, if you look at the first 18 verses, and you can study this in your own time, you'll find they were defeating the Canaanites. In other words, whenever they went into the land, do you remember what God, they asked God, they said, listen, who shall go up against the Canaanites first and to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. And then Judah turns to Simeon, his brother, and he says, Simeon, I want you to come and join me, and we fight together. And my, whenever it comes to your patch and your lot, I'll go in with you and I'll fight with you, and we'll stand together and we'll battle together and we'll do that which is right together. In other words, we'll honor God together. And Fred, you read the first 18 verses, and you'll find that's exactly what they did. It said in verse 4, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. They're facing the battle. They're joining hand in hand together, friend, and doing that which God has said. They know what to do, and knowing what to do, they go and do it. Those who are saved tonight, let me tell you this. God has placed you and me in this world tonight not to take the moral temperature of the world and then to go with it. But God has put us here to change the world. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. You notice two things he says. He says, you're salt in this world. If you lose your savor, then wherewith shall all around you be salted? In other words, if you lose your savor, you lose your effectiveness. You're no longer that effective servant of God. He says, ye are the light of the world. And my, whenever the light shines, it exposes the darkness. So I believe that God's children should be in public life. I don't believe this nonsense to say that God's child shouldn't be as an elected representative. Let me tell you, God put Daniel in office. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would do right and he wouldn't defile himself. You say, was there not defilement in his day? Yes, there was. Was there not an effort to try and squeeze Daniel into what the world was saying of his day? Yes, there was. But what does it say? Daniel purposed in his heart. And he vowed before God that he would do right. Joseph? God put his servant Joseph in authority, even down there in the land of Egypt, a place of darkness. Egypt represents the world, but God set him there. Why? God put him there as salt. God put him there as light. You know what the Bible says? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Child of God, don't you abdicate your responsibility as a as a person that's to be a light and to be salt in this world. God has placed you in this world to stand up for Him and do that which is right. How will I know what is right, friend? Listen. God's Word says what's right. In other words, it's the standard of the Word. And in Judges chapter 1, verse 2, "And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Listen. They went because they knew the Word of God. They knew the mind of God. The sad thing is, in Ulster tonight, many of our people tonight don't know this book anymore. Yes, I could call out to some people perhaps sitting in this congregation, ask you to open the book of Exodus, and you'd be searching for a wee while to find exactly where it would be. You know why? Because you've never opened the book for ages. Or the book of Acts. Or the book of Hebrews. Tell me, honestly, could you find it? Or would you look up the reference at the front to see just exactly where you'll get it, what page it'll be on? Then what am I talking about? I'm talking about a nation that once loved this book, that once stood for the standards of this book, that once did that which was right in the sight of God, but sad to say, there has been a moral decay. There's been a turning away from the Word of God. We need to get back to the Scriptures. We need to get back to the book. We need to be a people of the book, friend. That read the Word of God. Read it to be wise and practice it to be holy. They knew the mind of God. Why? Because they got the Word from God. They not only knew the book, friend, they knew the Word of God. They knew how to pray. Verse 1 it says, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" God, tell us, what's your will? Friend, tell me. Do you know how to pray? Or do you rely, friend, listen, do you rely on somebody setting it in front of you? Give me a wee prayer that I can pray, friend. Let me tell you, prayer is the cry of the heart. You know, my precious memory as a child. One of the most precious memories I have as a child, friend, is standing or even sitting down along the landing of our home outside my mother and father's bedroom. And the door was shut. And I sat and listened to my mother pray. And friend, let me tell you, she didn't pray in. She talked out to her friend. She had found a friend in Jesus. And on her bended knees before God, my mother used to cry to God, and she mentioned every one of us. And one by one, she prayed. Then I remember some of my precious last memories. And as she lay in the hospital, and the night was long, and they had sent for us to gather round a mother's bed, and in the night hours I could hear her again pray out. Would you say it, "Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart." These are her words. "I love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind and with all my strength. Lord Jesus, I love my family. I love every one of them. I thank you for giving them to me." And then she said these words, "But Lord Jesus, I love you best of all. I love you best of all." Nobody had to tell me my mother loved the Lord, friend. I knew she did. Let me ask you, do you know how to pray? Children of Israel said, "God,
God, who shall go up?
Do you pray for your nation? Do you? You pray for your nation? Do you know we have lads that are out in Iraq tonight and they're fighting? And some of them may never come home. You pray for those boys? Or lasses? Do you? Fighting for the freedom of a people that they know nothing of. But they're fighting for a cause of freedom. Do you pray for them? Or is it out of sight? Out of mind.
What's wrong with our nation? Oh, the nation has fallen away from God, friend. They've fallen away. They no longer know the Word of God. They no longer know how to pray to God.
And then Judah said, Simeon, you come with me and we'll stand together to fight the enemy. And Simeon, I'll go with you and we'll stand together to fight the enemy. The sad reality is this, my friend. Many of God's people stand to fight each other rather than the enemy. What's wrong with a nation? Very quickly, let me go to verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. But mark this. But could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Once they were defeating the Canaanites, now they're dreading the Canaanites. Once they were enjoying the victory and the blessing because they were honoring God. They were doing what God said. They were obeying God. They were praying to God. They were committing themselves to God. But now the Bible says this. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. You know what happened? Whenever they saw those big armor, they got intimidated by the Canaanites. And they were afraid. And be honest, that's what's happening with many Christians today. They're getting intimidated by the godless society in which we live, and they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do. Let me tell you, friend, you can stand up and be counted. You can stand up for right. And here they saw the Canaanites and they saw the chariots of iron. And they said to themselves, they're so mighty, they're so strong. There's nothing we can do to defeat them. They lost the battle. They lost the courage. Let me say this to our young people, and there's a lot of young people here tonight. The devil's crowd want to intimidate you at school. They want to squeeze you into the way of the world. Let me say to our young people in university, the world at university wants to squeeze you into their ways of doing things and into their standards. In God's name, young people, I call you, stand up for God and for truth. Don't be ashamed of the right. They saw the chariots of iron and they were intimidated by them. There's nothing we can do. Let me tell you, may God give you a backbone instead of wishbone. Stand up for God and for truth in a day of darkness. You say there's nothing we can do. Let me tell you this, my friend. There's everything you can do. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I pray for our young people. And I know the world is craving after them, and I know the world's reaching out for them.
But I pray, oh God, put the blood around our young people. And oh God, give them courage to stand. We are in an evil generation. We are in a sinful generation. The moral landslide is all around us. But oh God, help our young people to stand up and be counted. God, help our young people to do what's right. Let me tell you this, my friend. Whenever our forefathers went out to war, the odds were against them. But they went on. And God gave them the victory. And the odds are stacked against the people of God today, as far as the world is concerned. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, young person. Listen, no matter where you go, no matter when it is, nail your colour to the masthead right away. And take your stand for Jesus. Because this is what he says. Him that honoureth me, I will honour him. Time's away tonight. They were defeating the Canaanites. And then they were dreading the Canaanites. If we have time to go to verse 28, they were dealing with the Canaanites. It says they put them to tribute. They did not utterly drive them out. In other words, they said, let's use them. What gain will we get out of them? What will it make us? That's the society in which we're living. We're living in such a materialistic society, friend, that the only thing that's in people's mind today is it's not what's right. It's what can I get out of it? What can I make out of it? And we've lost the moral fibre of our nation. Do you know why? Because the nation has turned away from God. And preachers are no longer preaching the book as God gave it. They're no longer calling the nation to repentance. They're no longer preaching against sin and exposing it as the dark, heinous, hellish thing that it is that dug hell and damned the devil and will damn every soul that follows its path. But when you come to verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Verse 32, and the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Do you know what happened? First of all, defeating the Canaanites, and then they're dreading the Canaanites, and then they're starting to deal with the Canaanites, because you see, what can I get out of it? And then lastly, they're dwelling with the Canaanites. Do you know what happened? There was no difference between them. One was just like the other. May God help us to keep a clear line of demarcation between the Church of Jesus Christ and the world. Because the tragedy of this day is this. It's not that the world is coming more churchy. It's the church is coming more worldly. And people want the preacher to ape and wants the church to ape the world. That's how you keep the people, friend. Listen, what you need to do is this. Introduce the world into the church. Let me tell you then, there'll be no need for the church if it's just the same as the world. God wants His people to be pure. God wants His people to be holy. God wants His people to be different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's how Israel lost the war for him. She turned away from God. Oh God, our help in ages past. We need the Lord tonight. Friends, you need the Lord, individually, personally. As I close, there's one great battle still to come for every one of us, save the Lord's return to the battle. The Word of God says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And you and I remember the sacrifice of men and women that went to war and fought in the fields of a foreign land or on our home shores in these last years of trouble, and they died, friend. And the place that knew them then knows them no more forever. And some of these days you and I will fight that last battle too. We'll come to the end of the journey and we'll take our last breath and we'll step out into God's eternity. Let me ask you a simple question as I come to close. Tell me, and what then? Where will you be, friend, in eternity? Where will you be when you close your eyes in death and you step out into God's eternity and you take your last journey from time to the eternal beyond? Will it be heaven? Or will it be hell? Lost eternity from which there's no way back. A place of outer darkness. The blackness of darkness. Forever. Not only does the nation need the Lord, you need Him. You need Him as your Savior, friend. I'd rather have Jesus tonight than anything. Have I lost everything? There's one thing I'll never lose. I'll never lose my Savior or the salvation He gave me. May you come to Him tonight. May you trust Him. May you rest your soul upon the finished work of His cross. May you be saved for Jesus' sake. Pray for our nation. God, save our nation for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again tonight for Thy love and Thy mercy. We thank Thee, our God, for the instruction of Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt turn the nation back to Thyself, that we might walk in the paths that Thou hast given us. Help us never to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and if there are those tonight and they're not saved, and they're still on that broad road that will lead to hell and to destruction and damnation, may this be the night that they'll call out in the Savior, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May this be the night that they'll turn from darkness to light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God, that they might know the forgiveness of sins and be sure of the inheritance which is theirs by faith in heaven reserved for us who love the Lord. O God, humbly, save our land. Deliver us for Jesus' sake.